Jake was one of my biggest supporters as I'd come up almost every time he'd reach out, even if it was just a little touch. Sometimes he verbalized it as a hard trip this morning to go by his empty seat. Well, what I'd like to talk about today is tears. Ain't that crazy? I've seen some tears recently. So let's see what God will do with this. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. If you'd like to read along. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. The idea here being conveyed that Jesus Christ is God also. He's God, and God is God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Jesus is God. He made it all. That's unfathomable to me. I don't understand. My little puny brain can't get it. I've talked to you before how the scriptures talk about how he named all the stars. I don't remember now, something like 70 billion trillion. We don't understand that number. Don't make sense to us. He's got a name for all of them. The mind of God. It's just wild. To make something. How do you make something, you know, out of nothing? God, Jesus, was there, made it. Scriptures talk in many places that he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We really don't understand that either, especially as Americans. I had the privilege one time to travel to Europe. And you ride along down their roads and you'll see a little castle. And you go, whoa, there's probably a king lived there or lord of some sort over a territory. And you don't have to go very far, and here's another one, but it's bigger. And you go a little farther and come around a corner, whoa, there's a castle. There was a king that lived there at one time, a monarch. You know, I like to read some in the history of the kings of England. Monarchs. Total power, as far as men gives men, not total power, obviously, as God. What they said went. What they said did. There was probably somewhat of a fear involved in that. You know, you didn't want to displease the king. Y'all remember the story, maybe, of Esther and King Ahasuerus. And he had been tricked into signing a law into effect that there would be open house on the Jewish population in his country to kill them and to, you know, take their goods. And as providence works, Esther, a little Jewish girl, became queen. But in that country, the custom was, the law was, that if you wanted to have what you would call an audience or a time with the king, you had to go beforehand and talk to whomever his servants were and have a list of who he was going to see that day. And it was at his pleasure who he saw and who he didn't see. But Esther, realizing the seriousness of the situation, and she'd not made a time to go see him. She was just going to show up in the palace, in his throne room, unannounced. And there was a rule that when you came in like that, one of two things happened. He raised the scepter and you were allowed to come in, or he didn't and you were killed. Frightening, isn't it? King of Kings. Esther said something that is beautiful to me. She said, if I perish, I perish. The awesomeness, I want to convey maybe how we in some aspects might see God. In my imagination, and in many people I visit with, we think of God as just unapproachable. He's God. We can't go to him. Whether it's Jesus or God the Father or God the Holy Spirit, it's just like we know he's there, we know he's good, but he's way over there and I can't approach to him. I'm such a small little thing. He wouldn't really pay attention to my little request. I've thought about this. It's a little silly, but I think it carries a point. You know, human beings with our brains try to think about God. And if I was God, how would I be? Well, there's somebody, especially in America, that kind of fits our thinking. Excuse me, but it's Santa Claus. You know, he's making a list. He's checking it twice. And he's going to find out who's naughty and nice. And who does he supposedly bless is Santa Claus. The nice. Yeah, not the naughty. So we get about ourselves. I remember as a little child, I'm going to try to do good, you know, somewhere in December because I want my Santa Claus gift. 4 or 5 days plus. Yeah. Just a few days ahead of time. Don't want to do too much. Hoping that my good will outweigh that. Will outweigh the bad. And we see God in that way. Folks, we got the wrong image of God. It is not who God is. You know, there's another thing. If you're standing by somebody and they say something or do something that's like, oh, this is not pleasing to God. And we go, because what's going to happen? Strike lightning. Sorry, folks. Wrong image of God. In Psalms 130. I'll go ahead and turn there. Psalms 130. Sorry for the extra time here. Well, I'm not smart. I was in Psalms 119 and turned verse 130, so y'all continue to pray. All right, Psalms 130. Verse 3, if thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? You know what that's saying? Hang on. You know what that's saying? God's got a ledger up there. It's got Victor on it. Oops, he messed up. Oops, there's another sin. Oops, there's another sin. There's iniquity, there's iniquity, there's iniquity, there's iniquity. David said, if thou were to mark iniquities, who can stand? Which one of us is going to stand? You see what I'm saying? This God isn't counting. He doesn't have a list of who's naughty and nice. That's not his list. Somebody read it. Jake did. I mean, crazy brain. Excuse me. Brother Drew did about Jake's verse. The thoughts of God toward us are always good, and they're innumerable. All right?
Amen.
Every time God thinks of you, Brother Charles, every time God thinks of you, Sister Hannah, it's always for your good.
Yeah.
Sister Twana. Sister Angie, every time God thinks of you, it's for your good. And it's innumerable. Every time. There's more of a picture of God we need to have a look at. So, y'all say, well, how's this getting to tears? We'll get there. You know, when Jesus was here on earth, he didn't hobnob with the elite, did he? He wasn't in Pilate's palace. He wasn't in Herod's hall. He didn't jump over to Rome and go in and talk with Caesar, you know, check things out, how's it going, you know, in your kingdom. Now, he was with the lowly, the common folks. I think we're common folks here today. Yeah, that's who he hung with. You know, he had some friends. There was a family. Brother Marty mentioned this a little bit yesterday at Jake's funeral. The family had, there were three, two sisters and a brother, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Just common folks. But they loved him, and he loved them. He loved Lazarus tremendously. And y'all remember the story, how Lazarus got sick? I never thought of it until Brother Marty mentioned yesterday how Martha came out, and she was a little perturbed, wasn't she, that he hadn't got there earlier and kept him from dying. Jesus says, show me where you've laid him. So they go out to the grave, and they get there. What happened? Jesus wept. Compassion. It's not a God with lightning striking. Compassion. He wept. What do you think happened to his eyes when he was weeping? There's tears. Jesus wept at Lazarus, his loved one, his friend, his brother. He wept. Those around said, behold how he loved him. So I'll just say this in passing. If you've shed tears over the last few days with Jake's passing, all it is a testimony to how much you love him. Sister Angie, when you're shedding your tears, as I saw this morning, it's your love to Brother Jake and all the rest of you. Behold how he loved him. Turn with me to Psalms 56:8. Psalms 56:8. Psalms 56:8. Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? It's King David talking. He said, thou tellest my wanderings. Tellest is a word just as meaning count. You go to the bank and you have your money, and who do you talk to? But the teller. She counts the money. Thou tellest my wanderings. You count my wanderings. These are not wanderings into sin. It's not what we're talking about here. If it was wanderings into sin and crying over his sins and saying, Lord, keep track of the sins, then we've denied the verse a little bit ago we just talked about that said he doesn't count iniquities. So this is not talking about the sinful aspects. It's talking about the afflictions. Whether they're from the outside or from the inside, it's David saying, you've counted the troubles that I'm in. King Saul was after him hard and fast. I think that may be part of what it is here. But he's counting, saying, Lord, you count my afflictions. I've seen some afflictions the last few days. And he's counting them. Isn't that wild? Over yonder, he's not counting our sins. But you're counting my afflictions. It says, put my tears. Put my tears into thy bottle. There was a custom back yonder a long time ago that in situations like this, up there were little jars that people actually caught their tears in. And it was to remember the affliction, the sorrow. David's saying, Lord, put my tears into your bottle. Are they not in thy book? It's to remember. David's asking God to remember him and his affliction. Remember me, Lord, in my affliction. Remember my tears. Put them in a book. Why put them in a book? I think it's language, like Marty was saying, poetic language, metaphorical language. I forget. I don't know about you guys. I forget. Just this morning. I'll show you how brilliant I am. So we got Sister Leanne staying with us and all, and do a little bit better breakfast. I'm cooking some eggs and whatever, and I thought, you know, some biscuits would be nice. So I break open a little can of Pillsbury biscuits and got five of them things in the oven set and look at the timer, and it's got 7 more minutes. And I look back at the counter, and the other night some folks was there, and we had some toast and bagels. I said, oh, I'd like some bread with my eggs. I think I'll warm up this bread and bagel. I'm going to get a fresh bagel out and do it. And I get it all done. These bagels and toasted and buttered and hot and bread, toast, ready to go. And ding, 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 the biscuits are done. So we had double bread this morning. I guess I should have wrote it down. You see what I'm saying? David's saying to God, don't forget. Write it down. Put it in your book, Lord. Not my sins. Not my iniquities. You don't mark those. But mark my afflictions, Lord, and remember me in my afflictions. Every tear. Not just the affliction of, oh, this big bad thing happened to me. Every little tear. Remember each one, Lord, and mark it in the book. Revelation 21:4, please. Let's go to 21:3 and then 4. Before I read that, let me say this. Jesus Christ stood at the tomb of Lazarus and he wept, and there were tears. There's no question in my mind. I don't think you can weep without tears. No question in my mind. Behold how he loved him. Do you think he understands when we're weeping for a loved one of ours that's passed? He's been there and he understands. Totally. We have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. That's a double negative. My brain struggles. You know, like say I'm doing biscuits and decide to make toast. You know, my brain struggles. So let's change that around so it's positive. Instead of we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, we have an high priest that is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Every time we feel stressed, infirmed, troubled, every time he feels it. He was tempted in all points, even down to the point of a loved one dying, knowing he's going to raise Lazarus in just a few minutes back to life. He still had the compassion and wept. He feels our pain to every little tear. And he's got them in a book, so to speak, that he won't forget. But folks, that's here and now. That's what's happening here and now. But there's coming a day. So let's read 21. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. There is coming a day, as Brother Marty spoke earlier, no more tears because there's no more pain, no more crying because there's no more struggle. It's in yonder world, folks. But Jesus knows now. He's not aloof. He's not unattainable. He's not approachable. It's not like if I have a problem that I think that the President of the United States could help. Do you think I could walk up to the White House and say, Mr. Biden, I've got a problem and you can help? You think they're even going to let me in the gate? It ain't happening.
Not a minute. And if I got in there, is he really going to care? Well, I don't know. Maybe yes, maybe no. I don't have no idea. Don't know the man. He don't know me. But there is one that knows you. Every hair of your head. And when you combed your hair this morning and one fell out, he kept track of that. He knows you. He knows every tear you shed. And it's going to comfort you through the hard time. And then that great and glorious day, and wipe the tears away. Thank you very much. Very good.